Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of breath. We are not... G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are previewing Queensland's biggest day. That's right, it is the Stradbroke Handicap. They've also got the JJ Atkins, which has proved one of, if not the best, two-year-old form race in the past couple of years. We've also got racing at Sandown, and we know that's where Bot does his best work. Fellas, how are we doing?
Well, sorry to cut you down a bit, but Sandown looks awful on Saturdays.
you know the racing's bad, but even Bot reckons it's a bad week.
I mean,
that's
it's
a
okay.
True statement.
We've got 3 bets, but geez, it looks tough on Saturday. yeah. Anyway, there's good racing up in Queensland, so that's always good. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Well, unlike you, it doesn't really matter. For Ben and I, it doesn't really matter when the race is shit in Victoria because we just venture elsewhere.
I'm pretty sure they race at like Wangaratta on Saturday as well too, so I'm sure I'll have a couple bets there.
So if you've just joined the podcast, you can tell we're up and about and we've got plenty of bets, and please stay on to make sure our ratings go right. But honesty is the best policy, as they say, and to be completely honest, we do have a little bit of, we've been dealt with a bit of a case of can't be stuffed itis, I reckon. So we're going to try and fly through this a little bit and just give off our best bets. But off the top, it's been a bit of a sad week for racing, really. A few deaths, and the main one being Robbie Lang. So condolences with everyone.
Horrible.
We knew Robbie, the family. Very, very,
very, he was very at the sad. Races on Saturday.
Yeah, at the races on Saturday and go on the next. So rest in peace to Robbie.
He had El Soliado, run last at Flemington.
Ran second at 60 to 1.
And apparently he was fairly bullish on it too. Someone said in the days after when they were reflecting on his life, they sort of said to him, like, what are you doing with this horse with 63 or 64 kilos at 50 to 1? He goes, no, this thing will run all right. Don't you worry about that. And the stories that you hear from people, obviously Robbie was a bit sort of before my time in racing, but he was someone who was never afraid to take a chance or do something that was, you know, out of the ordinary. And it's good to have people like that, you know, aren't textbook and want to take risks and things like that. So obviously there's some things that went on in the later years that weren't weren't that flush, but yeah, I never met him or anything like that. But when you hear stories about, you know, what like his good jumpers and stuff used to do it, you know, that's something, a common interest that I share with him. And I would love to see more trainers do things like that nowadays. Like a horse first up in a grand annual off a couple of jump outs is something that you'll never, ever see.
Yeah.
But he was brave enough to do it and never looked like he was going to get beat either.
Yeah, he campaigned some, just the way he campaigned him was odd at times, but a lot of the times it worked and a lot of the times
he got the prices.
Yeah. I think Miss Rock as well was another one who was odd placement at times, but got the job done. The only time I met him was actually...
Cat, when are we going to see him in Hong Kong? He can't be too far away from having a run, surely.
Has he not run yet?
I don't know. I haven't seen him yet. Maybe he has. I don't know his new name, but...
Maybe Happy Fat Cat. Maybe I could be making that up.
Hey, but... Fat Cat's just a perfect Hong Kong name. They don't even have to change it.
They probably don't really need to change it, but... the only time I met Robbie was actually late last year. We were doing a video with Jack Lang. Is it Spear? Is that his fast horse, that 1,000-meter horse?
Yep, Spear.
And, we were doing a video on it because it was going to the Valley when it was a short price favorite that night. It ended up getting burnt up on speed. It was three wide, whatever.
That was in the 888 race, I reckon.
Yeah, it was. But Robbie, we were just sitting down and he was just cracking joke after joke. So no word of a lie. I couldn't understand some of the jokes he was actually pulling off, but oh, he was a character, all right. So, condolences to everyone involved there. Schnitzel as well, one of the great sires, champion sire a couple of times, sired Cox Plate winners, Golden Slipper winners, I think two Golden Slipper winners, had a fee of, I think, 240 or 250,000 service fee this year, and had another big... book of mares to cover and he's gone down as well. So that's very, very sad. And the thing that I noticed was, I don't know if you guys seen this, but his last progeny was called Job Done before he sadly passed away the next day. So if that's not fitting, I don't know what else is.
It's funny how it works like that, isn't it? Looks a nice horse, that Job Done too. One with a fair bit in hand.
Yeah.
It's a half to Pivot City.
Yeah, well, that might be a
burden. He's got more ability than his brother already.
It actually does look similar as well.
Mm.
In the same colours. I
think Pivot City wasn't happy with it.
No.
Pivot City's by longest, not a single doubt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other Robbie Lang story, Lord of the Sky, one of the good sprinters he had back in the day, almost knocked off Chautauqua in a TJ famously. And I remember talking to Jack and...
it was one of Jack, the fastest trial horses that they've ever seen, wasn't it? Or was he just going to lickety split?
Yeah. And they bred Lord of the Sky and they bred Spear.
Like, yeah.
A lot of the horses that they train, the family bred themselves. So it was another one. Very good sprinter. I don't think it quite got the job done at Group 1 level, but it was multiple Group 1 placings. So...
Yeah,
good horse.
Polanski was one of the highest rated Victorian Derby winners we've had probably this century as well.
And he paid all for him, didn't he? He paid like $4,000 or something.
$4,000, I think.
And apparently he was just so confident going into the Derbies, it's like, this thing will just win.
Yeah.
And it kicked their heads in, didn't it?
And it broke down in the CFO. Yeah, bolted in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. A man who could definitely train, so he'll be sorely missed.
Sorely missed indeed. As will Schnitzel. We need some of these good sires, these first season and second season sires to start coming through because we've lost some real good ones in recent years.
Yeah, that's why we really need the Autumn Sun back. We can't afford to miss him for another season because him missing that one year is already going to have a flow-on effect in the breeding industry. Obviously, he hit the ground running and then he's spent a year off, so we really need him back ASAP, we can't have that gap get any bigger.
Yep. We've got Gayath now.
Gayath, flying. The Ole Kirks, he's going to be this first season sire of the year with ease.
I'm really keen to see some of these other good horses, these good ex-Coolmore horses, like some Mark's Basilica and stuff, horses that I loved following overseas.
Yeah.
Pinatubo, those types. Be interesting to see how they all go. And the Animos. Yep. I can't wait to see the Animos. Please just be half like your dad. Please just be a freak.
He looked a picture of health last week when we went.
I know. How was your trip up there?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Did you give him a big kiss and say I miss you?
Absolutely. We even got to go into Winx's paddock. It's just so interesting. Like, all the colts have their regular sort of regime. The ones that are still on the book, they spend all their... They're in a box overnight, then they go out to the paddock, and then they come back at night. But the mares, the brood mares, they don't come back into a box. They just stay out in the paddock all night, which is... It's crazy to think. So you've just got... Well, that's just their routine and what they like to do.
Suppose these shiny toys are probably worth a little bit more than the girls outside.
Yeah, exactly. Mares can only, fall down once every, what is it? I don't know. Is it the same as humans? It's like, maybe it's, is it 7 months, 9 months, whatever it is. But they can only have one a year. So,
Something I definitely want to do, go with a few of the studs and stuff and see a few of the good horses.
Yeah.
Be good to go a year long.
Scone is absolute horse heaven. It's crazy. The whole town is just horse racing.
Yeah, good town.
All right, let's get into the races. Botter. Sandown is where we're racing. Rails out 6 metres.
Unfortunately, there's no observer this week at Sandown for Bot.
No. It's chilly weather at the moment. It's a soft six at the moment. Any thoughts early?
On the track?
Track, weather, whatever.
It's a 7 now, so monitor it. But yeah. It's been a bit wet this week. Probably just on speed at Sandown. I was out 6.
There's no rain between now and Saturday. It should be
chilly. Yeah, it should dry up a little bit, but I probably think you want to be on speed is the way I'd lean.
Maybe you should take your trainer's license out Bot and contact the Shake and get observer in your hands.
Mate, I don't think I need to even train that thing. That'd win the JJ Atkins by 5 lengths.
I've heard too much observer chat this week. Anyway, let's get into race 2.
Well, that's something that we didn't touch off off the top.
Oh, come on.
James going to Hong Kong.
This intro's gone for 10 minutes.
Well, there's a lot happening in racing. In dull shit racing this time of year, there's a lot of important things that have happened.
Yeah. We've lost true. James has gone to Hong Kong. It's good.
Benny wants to go to bed, mate.
I know, but these are all important things that we have to cover.
Well, the rumour file was actually quite large on this, and then it sort of died down, and
I don't know if I believe that, like, he was going. I think this is genuinely last minute sort of stuff, because the names and the applications and stuff were in for him to have the Sydney stables and the Melbourne stables and all this sort of shit. Yeah. So you're not doing that if you're half-assed. I think this is genuinely like at the 11th hour, Winfred and Hong Kong Jockey Club have come and just given him an offer too good to refuse. And you know what? Good on him for taking it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. Like, they get offered a contract to train exclusively in Hong Kong. So it's not just prize money they're winning. They're getting paid by the Hong Kong Jockey Club.
Well, Jockey Club pay for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
And only 22 trainers were licensed in Hong Kong this season. So it's no mean feat to get your ticket over there.
No. And I think I think we will see him back here at some point. It won't be a forever thing, but I think I think he'll go over and he will smash it. What a lot of people forget is that he was a good trainer in his own right before he trained for Godolphin. Like, it's not like Godolphin was what made him. He was established before Godolphin.
Yeah.
Well, he's Bart Carmi's grandson, so no shit.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of well-bred horses that can't run out of a dark night, so breeding's on everything, Bot.
Yeah.
They should bring back the Bart colours. They're pretty ugly colours, but they're
very famous. They were. I thought they were going to do that.
I think James was going to have the red and black prize icon colours.
Well, there's those colours, and then there's the actual, green and yellow, whatever they are. Yeah.
Green and gold, yeah.
Anyway,
let's just retire them for the green. Let's get sand down. Let's not bring them back.
All right, let's go to race 2.
Let's get into Squibfest at Sandown.
At Sandown, 1,300 metre benchmark 70 for the fillies. Tara Lee still has no jockey. This can absolutely go in the bin. It's Thursday night. Thursday night, and we're betting into markets where we don't even know if there's a jockey on. Like, can there be an apprentice go on and claim still? I've got no idea, but it's the $2.80 favourite from Legacy Bay, $5, flatted $8.50. Grinzinger Pod, $9. And Butternut Princess is $11. Bot, Terry Lee got too far back last start. Is that the way you're going or somewhere else?
Yeah, I'll probably going to be on Terry Lee. I think 2-1's fair. I think it's $2.95 is the best price now. Like on ratings, you couldn't have that price, but like the sectional markup from last time was just massive. It can run a big split. They tried to go forward in it last time. They tried to use him up early, and then they realized that there were so many horses inside it that they just sort of dragged back to last. So like for 400 meters of the race, they were just dragging back to the back of the field. Then they realized that they were 10 lengths off the leader at the 400 meter mark, and the horse sprinted home in very nice sectionals the last little bit. I think 1300 meters is as short as it wants. I think it's probably a miler to maybe 2000. It's by territories, so you'd think so. I mean, like, it is ridiculous. We need a jockey by Thursday night, seriously. If you're not going to, like, you see this sometimes when they're dual accepted, but it's not dual accepted. Like, how hard is it to book a bloody jockey? It's not a good look for racing, but I want to be on it at 2-1, $3. That's a fair price for me. I think Legacy Bay was the one that was probably a fair price early, but that price is that $6.50 has been taken now. But Terry Lee, I think it's more like a $2.60 chance. And I think at the 1300 meters, I think that's the end of what the shorter sort of side of what it wants. But I think it's got the sprint in its legs, the class over a couple of these. But I think Legacy Bay is probably the only one that can probably beat it. I don't know. I'm pretty keen on that, the two horses. But like, Terry Lee is the one I want to be on.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree. Terry Lee, I think, can take care of them here. From Barrier 7, they're going to settle a lot closer. Last time, she drew Barrier 12 of 12, I want to say. And they just went all the way back to last after she actually jumped quite positively, as Bot said. And all of a sudden, just kicked away and was too good. But the late sectionals were awesome. She ran the seventh fastest last 200 meters of the entire day. And I think with a more economical run here, she's the one to beat. In terms of jockeys, Daniel Stackhouse doesn't have a ride in this race. Daniel Moore doesn't have a ride in this race. So in terms of seniors, they might be what you might be looking at. Stacky would be a good one. So yeah, I'm on. Don't know who's riding as yet, but hopefully it's not an apprentice. All right, let's move on to race three. 1400 meter, 3-year-old open race, 1400 meters. That horse I mentioned was Aha Aha, $2.70 favorite from Waitley, $5. Super Nemas, $7.50. Hot Diggity Boom is $10. And Nimbus 2000, $10. I'm going to keep it very simple here and go with the exact same form line, Aha Aha. It is worth noting that Logan Bates can't claim his full 3 kilos here. I believe he can only get down to 52. So 54, he's a 3 kilo apprentice, but probably going to carry the 52 kilos. This horse maps just so well from barrier two. He's just going to tag the leaders. Same track and trip as last time, 1400 meters, put up a big new spike figure. And I think can repeat the dosage down in the weights. Obviously, this is a harder race, but the rating stacks up very, very well. Nimbus 2000 is a horse that does bring some interest. So I might have something on it around the $10 mark down on 54 kilos. But Aha Aha, the only query for me is that she's probably been up a very long time now. So if she still has one more run in the locker, I reckon she can get the job done. Anything, Bot?
Not really. No.
All right. We skip race four. We go to race five. It's a benchmark 74. Fillies and Mares over the mile. Extreme Virtue, $5. Swances, $6.50. Make It Sweet, $9. Cinematic Star, $9.50. As is Sounded Out from Until Valhalla at $11. Who do you like?
I thought Extreme Virtue could roll to the front or be forward of, you know, in the sort of on pace position and third up. I thought it was really good last time. I think it's in for a career best run. Yeah, I like what it did first up. Just got it second up, and I think it'll improve up to a mile with the benefit of a run. So I think it'll run about half a length better than what it did last time. I think that's good enough to beat these ones. So I'm pretty keen on, not pretty keen, but probably like a $4 chance for me, Extreme Verdure, $5.50 is the best price.
All right, great. Race six, you're not betting in race six. Obviously, Road Cone's been quite impressive the last two. A bit of a PR last start, but
thoughts? Yeah, it got a soft lead and it's a bleeder, so no thank you. But I wanted to try and find something to beat it. I couldn't. High and Proud comes off a forgive run on the heavy, heavy track. If it runs to its absolute best, it can get there. Horse like Bigolino is a little bit interesting for me on the quick backup. It ran a peak at Sandown off 8 days. This is 7 days on the quick backup. Two preparations ago, beating He's Beset, Big Brew, Crackerjack, Prince, those sorts of horses. If he runs that rating, that's fair. I think they'll roll forward. He was good last time of 1,200 metres. But other than that, it's a gross race, really. I mean, I want to find something to beat Road Cone. Maybe Nation's Call's the one, but meh. Gross.
All right, too easy. Let's move on to race seven then. You'd have to say this is the day's feature. 1,800 metre open race. It's a pretty average card, but this is probably the feature if there was one. Sabin is the $4 favourite from Windstorm, $6. Sayadati, Sadati, $6.50. Just take note again, punters, this is another one. Logan Bates, 54 kilos, probably can only claim 2 of his 3 kilos. Forgot You is $11 from Dublin Journal. Nice last start winner. The boys found it. And Tempesti is $13. Who do you like, Will?
Sayadati, Sadati, I backed last time. Just nosed out in the line by Sabin, who finished quickly. I think they'll go forward here instead of a stronger pace. And I think Sabin's too short again. But I think it'll roll forward and run a peak in Australia. And I think that'll be good enough to beat these. The other one I'll have something on is Milford, who's third up now. I like what it did last time and gets the blinkers back on if he runs to his best sort of form. Then he is well and truly in this race. So, but he's probably going to get back as well. But I think there's no speed in this race. I think Sayadati is going to lead and he'll probably run at an even pace. And I think he's more like a $4. If I was going to have a best bet of the day, this would be it. Sayadati.
Might be going in the podcast multi at a bit of value. All right. Any other thoughts for Sandown?
No, race 8 is disgusting. Race 9 is, what's its name? Cafe Millennium's a little bit interesting for me, but it's going to get back and it's gross. Run Harry Run, a little bit interesting for me. Oh, Who Dares, who I backed gross in the Golden Dopaz, I backed second or third. Both big results, and they're both, oh God. And that Lindsay Smith horse knocked me off first up. But I think Who Dares, I mean, that price looks completely wrong at $27. I mean, I probably should be backing this, really. I should be tipping it. So on the quick backup off a third to Yellow Sand Press down the Golden Topaz, and its last prep started $5 or something. Run third to Jimmy the Bear, sort of $5 or thereabouts, but I don't know. He's someone when I'll have something on as well.
All right, too easy. Let's go over to Eagle Farm now. It is their biggest day, as I mentioned off the top. The rail is out 4 meters the entire circuit. Currently, it's a soft 5, but the weather is clear over the coming days. Having said that, we got clear weather last week, and it's still played as a soft 5 the entire day. So very interesting. Nico, did you take note of the races last week, how it was very difficult to make ground? It seemed to be, you wanted to be on pace, but off the fence.
Yeah, I suspect that it's going to be a fair bit more even this week. Rail out 4, back on a better surface. Last week was a bit, but I think this week will be pretty fair, and you should be able to win from just about anywhere. I think that's what I've sort of done the form on.
Yeah, no, I hope so. It makes the win of Jolly Star look a little bit better as well.
I don't know how she won.
Yeah,
She's lucky that she was chasing two shit horses, shitter horses in front of her. That's all I'm going to say.
Any rebuttal? No, Bot almost pulled it off with Golden.
No, well, there's just no, like, she's just not winning that race if she's going to chase a horse with some substance. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Zarastro and Golden Mile are not Group 1 horses.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're not proper Group 1 horses. Look, but
yeah, that's what I mean. They're not proper Group 1 horses. They might be.
I know we all bend over backwards and get on our knees for J-Mac a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
No, it's not, because he's the world's best jockey and he does things that others don't do.
Go back and watch the chopper footage of the first 200 metres of the Kingsford Smith Cup, and you just see how positive J-Mac... I know he's got a lot of ground to make up at the 400 still, but you just saw how positive he was out of the gates with Jolly Star.
Well, if he's behind Giga Kick, he doesn't win.
100%. He closes the door on Giga Kick and gets in front of him from the widest barrier. Oh, not the widest, but from outside Giga Kick, and that basically won him the race.
Yeah. J-Mac just does J-Mac things. Pretty simple stuff.
Is the king. Race 6 is the JJ Atkins Group 1 1600 metres. Won last year by broadsiding. I think he won by 4 or 5 lengths.
Oh, take me back.
And we've seen some pretty decent winners in this race in the past, including the Autumn Sun, Rothfire, Sacred Elixir, Press Statement. There's been some good ones, and there's also been some rough results as well. But hopefully, we get a good one here. I doubt it. Cool Archie is the $3.70 favorite from Hidden Achievement, $6. Grafter Burner, $7.50. Navy Pilot, $9.50. Farnacle, $10. And Providence, well, it's been 50-1 into $11. Nico, I'll let you go first.
I think there's a fantastic bet in this race. And I think... I think what he did last start was very good on unsuitable ground. He's going to be a horse that's going to get to just about a good track here. And I think he's going to absolutely explode. That's number 8, Hidden Achievement. I think he's definitely the horse to beat. Sense of timing, fourth up, J-Mac, Waller, Vinnie Colt, big race. I think he's clearly the horse to beat. I think Cool Archie's been super, but he's probably been advantaged on wet tracks. Not to say that he can't win here again on Saturday, but I think Hidden Achievement should be clear favourite. And he's the one on top for me. I think $6 is a fantastic price to have a bet. And yeah, I'd have him favourite.
Yeah, I probably agree. I've taken bets in this race on a couple of horses, a couple I've got unders, and a couple. There might have been, actually, I think we got my money back for United States, who didn't end up accepting. But I've taken a big price regulated affair. I think we're going to lose our money on that one. It's drawn 17/17, probably going to run at Rosehill. I took a similar price for Navy Pilot All In, so I've got no overs there, but it is a chance, comes through a good form race. And Will Alford was actually kind enough to tell me to back Providence when it was 50-1. So had a pineapple on at 50s and is now $11. So I might owe you a night out if this gets up, Bot. But I do think he actually looks at a decent chance. He was 1,200 metres into a fast run 15. He started $3.60 favourite or maybe second favourite behind Sunrays and might have just been found wanting. But that should bring him on nicely for this up to the mile. And if it's not too much, you know, it's only his third start. They don't often win JJ's at start three, but he looks as good a chance as any of the ones at double figures. So happy to be on there, but Hidden Achievement is a horse I'll probably end up coming with, Nico. So $6, yeah. $7, probably going to start shorter. J-Mac
should be $4.
All right.
Why is Hidden Achievement $6 and Zebra Finch 14 when Zebra Finch beat it last time?
Well, I think Zebra Finch had all favours. Map,
there's weather, a weight swing too.
Weight swing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fucking kicking myself. This horse was $15 like a week and a bit ago, and I was like, oh, I'll just wait.
Yeah, but we didn't know.
And now fucking J-Mac's on it, and everyone wants to be on it.
Like, J-Mac was always going to ride United States when it was coming to this race originally.
That could be the most overhyped squib that Coolmore have currently got in Australia. What the fuck has that horse ever done to have any sort of clout? They talk about this thing like it's the second coming of fucking Switzerland. What's it done?
Yeah. It was good on debut. I don't know, but it hasn't really
done. Debut, it's had about 85 runs since then, Ben.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's not that
good. I'll chop its knackers off and put it on English Digital.
All right, let's move on to race seven. The Dane Ripparts for the girls. 1,300 meter group two. Firestorm 420 from Floozy, Rhymes of Kaluzy. $6.
Can't win. It's got none.
Orange is $7. Tashi is $8. City of Lights, $9. City of Lights is the half sister to Winx, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Abounding's $9.50. I'm going with J Mac and Waller here. Firestorm, she's a bomb fresh, man. She's 4 out of 5 fresh. She pushed Lady Shenandoah to a neck in the Coolmore Classic second up last prep, and that was coming off a win first up over 1,300 metres. Well, bingo, she finds first up 1,300 metres off a few quiet Waller trials. She's not really a trial horse, so you don't really need to take too much note of where she finished as long as she's fit and healthy. Barrier 10 keeps her out of trouble. She's never going to be a horse that's up on speed. So it's going to be heart and mouth stuff, and you're going to need Eagle Farm playing well. But yeah, I think she's really turned the corner, and you know, she promised plenty, and now she might be starting to deliver on that. This is a horse who started $9 in a Doncaster mile, and now we're getting $4.40, $4.60 against the girls. So she handled Alentia in that Coolmore Classic, went straight past her last start. Not last start, last preparation. Alentia is also another good first up horse, but it's all about Firestorm for me here. Will be one of my stronger bets, $4 plus.
Yeah, well, we're going head to head.
Ooh, are you going Alentia?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. I think $7.50 is just too big of a price. She's also bomb fresh. Arguably, she probably wasn't as good last preparation as what she has been the prep or two before, so that's a slight niggle, but I'm just going to back her in. I think it's $7.50 and $2.70, thereabouts. That's just a fantastic price. Like, Floozy, she's going super, but this is different gravy, the form that Firestorm and Alentia bring in. I just think Alentia is just going to have map and race favours over Firestorm, and I'm happy to play that way. I couldn't talk you out of Firestorm. I'll probably have a saver on it. But I think $7.50 Valencia, that's just an absolute luxury.
Yeah, if J-Mac was on one or the other.
I think I've got no problem with Tommy. Like, Tommy's always sort of ridden Valencia, so I've got knock on
that. No, I've got no knock on that. I'm just saying, as in the price, if J-Mac was on Valencia, she'd probably be $5.
Yeah, probably. But Coco I'm happy Sun to cop $7.50 with Tommy. Hey?
Coco Sun?
What about it?
Coco Sun at 80-1.
$111.
Over 1,300 metres?
Yeah. It's probably a bit short.
It's not 2,300. It's 1,300 metres this race.
Ran the second best splits behind another Will first up last prep.
Ethan
Brown jumps on.
Here we go. Ben, don't even fucking consider it, mate. She's an old lap.
No, it's
a, I don't think she's a stayer. She's definitely a donation, not a stayer. No, she's a miler.
Well, maybe Mr. Zhang can let you have this horse in your stable too with Observer. You can just train these two.
Sure.
Two horse band for the bot.
All right, let's move on. Yeah, I can probably have a saver on Alentia as well. I think they do look the two.
$7.50 is like Floozy's the hole. And you can have Tashi. She doesn't fucking win, seriously.
Let's move on to Race 8, it is the Stradbroke Handicap, 1,400 metres, Group 1, 3-year-old plus. It's been a great race for a very long time, the Stradbroke. One of the time-honoured handicaps of Australian racing. Definitely the best 1,400 metre handicap in Australia. So It's bold claims, and it's always a good day. I went there 3 years ago when Think About It won. Well, maybe it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Unreal day. And when Eagle Farm turns it on with the weather, get to the Ladbrokes marquee, and you're set for the day.
We should do that next year.
Yeah. War Machine, $3.10 favorite from Golden Mile, well backed into $8.50. Rise at Dawn, $11. Private Eye. Ran second to Alligator Blood, I want to say, in this race a couple of years, 3 years ago maybe, is $13. Kamochi, $14. And Rothfire ran third in that same race going back 3 years. So the old boys are getting involved here.
Hmm.
Firstly, the speed. Desert Lightning wants to be positive from Barrier 1, as does Golden Mile and Rise at Dawn. So 1, 2, 3 are all going to be there in the firing line. The instructor, Drawn Barrier 12, he only knows one way. Rothfire is in 17. He wants to be positive. Whether there's a spot for him, I don't know. J-Mac probably magically finds the 1-1. And Front Page is on the backup, trying 1,400 metres for the very first time. Great winner for us last week. Has drawn out. So lots and lots of speed here. Nico, how did you dissect the race?
With much difficulty. There's a lot of horses in this race that can't win. So that's where I started. I put a pen through a few and I've tried
five?
No, there's a lot more in this race that can't win. Ten. Most of them can't win, to be honest. I think there's two horses that can. Two from the Haste, though. I think War Machine definitely deserves to be favourite. Probably a touch short.
Yeah.
But I think he's probably the horse with the most hashtag upside in the race. And the horse that is clearly over the odds for me at the moment is number 13, Rise at Dawn. I wish I was sitting on much better prices that you and others are currently sitting on, but I'm not. But yeah, my bet in the race probably is Rise at Dawn. Now, I think War Machine probably will get out. A few of the big boys are probably going to spit him out. But in the same sense, I don't know what the fuck they back. Like, you can have Golden Mile. He's missing a zero. Private Eye can't win first up. Kamochi, Rothfire's coming off setbacks, has J-Mac, but might need Jesus too. The instructor's not good enough.
They'll back Kamochi, surely. Two lengths to Jolly Star last start, up to 14. She's got the win over another wheel in
Rupert
Clark.
Just that get back needs everything to happen.
Yeah, she is.
Right horse.
I do think they'll back her.
Yeah, probably. Well, she got the right man on with Willow on, but yeah, couldn't have the instructor. The inflictor's a good story, but that doesn't mean it's going to win. Translantic's not even in the race. Bizusto, you couldn't possibly back it after last start. Warney won't get in. Desert Lightning shouldn't be in the race. Front Page won't run 1,400 metres. Robusto, like, we're a long way down the list now. Yeah. It's a real shame that King Zephyr never got to the race. That's all I'm going to say. Because he would have been a fantastic bet.
He got down the straight six, mate. DK beat
run on a heavy track.
You can forgive that one.
Like, that was real heavy.
Wasn't winning the Stradbroke? Do me a favour. Maybe. Next year.
Not well, you can't year. Win it from the paddock, champ, so well done. You're fucking correct.
Anyway. Well, War Machine's come out of nowhere this prep, really.
Yeah.
No, mate.
I'm fucking hoping.
I knew he was going to do this
back in
Cranbourne and Maiden.
I'm hoping that War Machine wins to keep our dream alive, Ben.
Oh, you took that multi, did you?
I did. I wasn't missing out on this one. Well, to me, in my head, if we get this home, we're nearly home.
Such a fucking degenerate, mate. Jesus.
If we get Saturday home, Car Ying's home, you may as well tick that up. He's just going to turn up and he'll win. Then we're down to Sir Delius. Second coming. So this could just be one of the greatest all-time bets ever.
We just need War Machine
to win.
I've got this multi going for $84,000 and you're telling me it's basically... This is a house deposit.
I'm telling you that we get this one home on Saturday. We're on like Donkey Kong.
We're on. If this gets
leg
up,
three, leg three is just like collect 200 and pass go. And then we're Melbourne Cup Day. You and me, we're not gonna be able to go to the races and watch this with anyone.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna have to sleep next to Sir Delius's box and wrap him in cotton wool, just make sure he gets through.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to slip a couple fivers, tenners to the RV vets to make sure that they pass him.
Oh yeah, I just realized what I just said. Grace Forbes has gotta fucking pass his horse.
Yeah, really that's our biggest
thing. Oh, fuck. Imagine that. Imagine he walks imagine funny and she says, nah, not today, boys. Oh, dead. That'd be dead set our fucking life.
Anyway.
Why are you giggling? Race. Giggling who? What are you chuckling at?
It's just funny. You're a mug. It's hilarious.
Well, K-Ing Rising is just going to be the biggest certainty to ever grace a racetrack when he turns up here in October. So,
jeez. Nico's got me excited. The creative juices.
Well, I completely forgot about the bet, and then I looked on Saturday night last week, and I was like, "What's this sitting there? Oh, Jolly Star won."
Yeah, Jolly Star got up by a head, and we're on.
I completely forgot about it when I was roaring her home on Saturday, and anyway,
could be the greatest four-leg multi.
They are free after all, but.
All right, my assessment of this race, unbiased. Before I get into my book, War Machine is a little bit too short right now. I think he's more of a $4 chance. Nonetheless, he is on top. His win last start was awesome in the BRC sprint. He didn't beat much, but he rode a genuine tempo and he kicked their heads in. So down on 53 kilos, he's well enough weighted. Tim Clark, I think he's going to be positive from that barrier. He just has to be forward of midfield. And if he finds the right spot in running, then he's going to be incredibly hard to beat, isn't he? He's come back and like a better horse, a much better horse, a more furnished horse this preparation. Rise at Dawn gets a good run. Private Eye is capable of producing a big run fresh, but it's just probably not the setup, 57 kilos fresh in a Stradbroke. But, you know, you can argue he is the best horse in the race when he's at his best. Kamachi and Rothfire will run well. But my book is we've tipped War Machine at 50s. On the sixth day. I wish we had more on. We've got Rise of Dawn at 26s. 26s. Private Eye 16. Kamachi 15. Rothfire I got $34 for, but it was quickly into 26. Golden Mile we took 13 for. So and Bizzusto 50-1. So we've built our book around those at the sixth day. I'd be surprised if anything else won outside those.
The instructor will win. Here's my tip.
Give me.
He would never beat War Machine again.
Where do you come up with that try?
Just like him. I had a look at the race.
There's too much pressure in this for him to be winning at 1400. I'm sorry.
No, he sat off for speed last start and beat him at 1300 meters.
Jesus Christ.
In the Luskin Star.
The instructor wins. I will not be turning up next week.
Fuck, I hope he wins. I thought Pier was a little bit big, and Private Eye is always a little bit too big.
Pier might not get in. I don't. Is he a chance to get in?
No. I don't know.
Jump off
I'm
it.
Just looking at the numbers, mate.
That's it.
I don't know.
The instructor. Ferdig.
No, it's not going to get a run.
Ferdig.
No, the instructor, you can have him $15. I could agree that Private Eye at his best is a little bit obvious.
How could you possibly back him first up? How could he goes you well possibly fresh. Yeah, he's but stupid. Fuck. You just.
What do you even like, Nick? What are you backing?
The two Hayes horses. I'm backing Rise at Dawn now, and hopefully War Machine gets out. If not, he just wins for the lotto ticket.
Rise at Dawn's not a 1300 meter horse, is he? I couldn't have
1400.
Well, that's the 1400 meters, and he's actually probably one of the better horses with a bit of hashtag scope in this race. Sorry, and he's fit.
He's won three out of four at 1400 meters, but you're telling me he's not.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a 2000 meter.
Oh, bro, he can't beat the instructor. Don't worry about it, Ben. Fucking turn it up, bot. You want to have another dinner on this? Double or nothing. Two dinners.
You don't want to take...
Come Rise on, at dawn to beat the instructor home.
Nah.
Oh, that's it.
Let's move
Fall
on.
Back on your sword, you coward.
Let's move on. Just don't take any head-to-head bets with your mate and just put everything you possibly can on race nine. Here we go. The Q22, 2,200 metres, number one, Faulkner Park, $2.30. He's going back-to-back on Saturday. Militarize, $5 from New Endeavor, also the same price. Kovalika, $6. Ossipenko, $9.50. Bois d'Argent, $12. Banker's Choice, $23. All right. The speed is Bois d'Argent and Banker's Choice. They roll forward at an even tempo. Faulkner Park probably lobs somewhere midfield, and I think he's just going to wallop them again. He ran a very similar rating in the Doomben Cup last year compared to the one he ran this year. He was unlucky in that Doomben Cup last year. He probably should have won with even luck. This year, he was beaten, but far from disgraced, by Antino. He was just way too good for him, but I thought his run was really good. Last year in this race was his big peak rating. He ran to 102.6. And I think if he runs 101 plus, I reckon he's just going to win. The step up to 2,200 meters suits him a lot more than others. I know Militarize was closing on him last start, but gee, I think he was holding him. And I think the extra 200 meters only suits Faulkner Park even more. So all he has to beat is Militarize, who hasn't run one in a blue moon. New Endeavor, who's a query at the trip. Slovalika, $6, you can have it. Ossipenko, please. Some of these horses, this is not a good race at all. And Faulkner Park is a horse that was the Caulfield Cup favourite after he won this race last year. So I'm max bet Faulkner Park, and I'm having a small bet on Banker's Choice at $26 as well. I think up to 2,200 metres, just controlling this tempo up on speed with Bois d'Argent, he's over the odds.
What about Militarize?
Oh, I just fucking knew this. I knew this stupid comment was coming. What about Militarize?
He's the best horse in this race.
Based off fucking what? He went to stud and rooted duds. And now he's back here racing slowly.
No, I thought he was good last time. He weren't.
I thought he was good last start, but I don't see him beating Faulkner Park.
I reckon he's been looking for a mile and a half his entire life.
Well, it's a shame because he's not even at a mile and a half.
I know, but it's further than 2,000 metres. I know it's 2,200 metres.
Well, you J-Mac's can have on. Him.
Your man.
He's the
J-Mac, he needs more than J-Mac this horse.
I can see that he's the danger.
Oh, Ben, he wouldn't fight his way out of a wet
pan. Yeah, well, who else is the danger? Kovalika, New Endeavor.
Brownie falling off is the danger. There's no danger. Faulkner Park will just win. And if he can't beat this lot, well, he's just about done too. There you go. You fired me up tonight, bot, just talking just rubbish about this shit.
Well, you could have preempted what horses he was going to fire you.
Oh, I just, yeah, because he just finds this hateful commodities that no one likes.
Quick one. If Sir Delius had to come to this race, what price would he be and what price would Faulkner Park be?
About $1.40.
You reckon that? No, it wouldn't be that short, surely.
You'd bet him down to about $1.40.
That's all right.
No, it's probably like $1.70, $1.80.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, well, probably. After Saturday, hopefully we're just dropping off a couple of boxes of bubble wrap to Waterhouse Bot Enterprises.
Yeah, and Carney Rising.
Oh, well, yeah, he's fine. I'm not worried about him.
All right.
Not worried about him at all.
Anything out wide? Nico, just a quick word on Sunday jumps races.
Well, I'm reluctant to say too much until I see some prices, but yeah, there's one that I want to really
come
step
on,
in.
You selfish bastard.
Well, there's one.
Give us some analysis.
Yeah, well, there's a complete and utter M job on Sunday.
Enlighten us then, mate.
Stockman will murder them in the maiden hurdle. Race
you
one.
Odds on?
He'll beat Farag. Well, I'm open for even money.
Yeah.
J-Mac tried to tell me today that I'm kidding myself and it'll be a competitive betting race. I said, well, give me some odds. He'll be the best bet of the weekend to Stockman if we get even money. He's going to beat, well, Tammy Tennant's rank at the moment, so I don't exactly know how much it's drying out, and who's going to be here. Obviously, we've got Normandy Bridge in the race, so he's got to have some sort of resistance. He ran well last start against a few good ones in high grade, and T Waters has gone okay.
Bellum will be single figures, won't it?
Yeah, well, I think there's enough horses in this race that have got to take up some percentage in the market, but I just think heavy tan.
Normandy, yeah.
Heavy track, Stockman. I can't wait for this. I'm so excited about 12:50 Sunday at Terang.
Said no one ever.
Oh, no, this is like even money about Stockman will be one of the bets of the year over Beautiful. The jumps.
Hopefully it goes up.
Normandy Bridge won't like a heavy 10. Stockman will eat it around Terang. Yep. So that's as far as I've gotten so far. There's a maiden steeple where I haven't really done too much deep dive, but it's good that there's a maiden steeple in this race. I think there should be more maiden steeples. Should be rules in place that allow horses to go, that have to win a maiden steeple before they can go to a 120 or an open steeple. Not going to say that it's going to prevent things that happened at Sandown a couple of weeks ago, but it can't possibly be, it can't possibly not help by making these rules and have these things in place. But yeah, just with the heavy track and who knows how much it's going to dry out, what the fields look like. I just want to see some prices and I'll put something up on Twitter or whatever. But interesting. I was chatting with JR yesterday and he said there was 21 nominations for the hurdle race. There's not even a hurdle race on the card. And some of the big guns were in the nominations. So I'm going to do some more digging and find out exactly what happened. But I find it very hard to believe that there was not enough acceptances to make a race, especially with like six or seven big guns in the nominations. I can't fathom that out of 21 acceptances with seven or eight big gun horses that no one's wanted to partake in a race at Terang on Sunday. So
the only thing I can
need to do some more investigation about that, because
the only thing I can think of is Terang prize money on a Sunday. Like I know it's only a maiden hurdle, but it's 35,000. Perhaps some of these trainers are thinking, well, we can race on the flat for $100,000 or $100,000.
Yeah, I know, but like, why is, well, they've still nommed them for the race, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand. Yeah. They know that these lesser races have the lesser prize money, but at the end of the day, there's still races to win and races to go around in and another race of education and stepping stones for preparation. So I don't really understand what's going on. So, yeah, it's a bit weird. I need to do some more investigating, but, yeah, could be one and done Sunday.
Yeah. All right, great. Rose Hill on Saturday, not an actual tip for me, but just a watch race, race one. Number two, Crocodile, looks a decent little horse. Actually races with a nose roll on and it's got this funny high head carriage, but went through the roof last start, 1,400 meter heavy 10 track. Looks a decent horse. So it's one to follow. Regulated affair, just wants more ground. Was caught wanting at 1,200 meters last start. As I said, I had a ticket on it in the JJ, but it's going to run here. And Bot also didn't mind the look of Crusader Voyage. So
it's by Sea Siren, and it's a half sister to Warm Heart, who's a 3-time Group 1 winner for Aidan O'Brien, and good horse, it's by Camilla as well.
Yeah,
so it's got a page, but the Gayath thing does look good. I'm excited about these Gayaths.
Yeah, so no official tip or bet there, but I'd probably have the Godolphin thing on top, just to back it to lead all the way under Hippo. It's interesting. You've got the hippo riding the crocodile horse. So there you go. Bit of a zoology for you.
Story time with Ben.
A back a layer prey. Bot, you let us down last week. Dream all day. Missed the start.
Who would have thought?
Ruined the podcast.
Back to normality.
Never a chance.
Shockless was a good result. It's fine, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
You could have put Shockless.
Self-interest governs you. You could have
put Shockless as the podcast multi. We would have been.
Coward. Don't worry about your loyal, faithful army out there. As long as your bet won, you selfish prick.
Well, I told them to back it too.
Yeah, well, put it as your podcast multi. Have some deeper thoughts about your selection.
Sorry, guys.
All right, Nico, you go first. Back, lay, pray.
Well, I'm just going to lay bot because he's just at least a layable commodity. My best bet will be hidden achievement in the JJ Atkins.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with that because I don't know what the odds are for Sunday, so I'm not going to give you $2.
Yeah, Saturday.
So Saturday. So I'm going to go hidden achievement. That'll be my best. And my best value is Rise at Dawn. $11, silly price. Should be clear second favorite behind War Machine.
All right, bot.
Say a daddy, said daddy.
What have you done to your audio? You've changed it.
I didn't do anything.
That's better.
Say a daddy, said daddy. Lay Saban and Milford, they're on the same race.
You've definitely changed your mic here.
Well, I just put my charger on. I'll take it off.
Oh god!
Can you hear me?
Way better. Whatever you just did.
What is doing?
It's my charger. I just put my charger in.
Well, fuck your charger off. Just repeat that again quickly.
Say Daddy Sadati, best bet. Saban in the same race. I'll lay it, and Milford as well each way, all in the same race.
Wow. That's a hamburger with the lot and some floated fries on the side.
And a drink.
And a drink. And a McFlurry as well. Far out.
There's a lot to get through.
I don't know.
So we've got Hidden Achievement at $6. We've got Seda Dadi Sadati at $5.50 for Bet365, but I think you might even be able to get better. And my best bet is race 9, number 1, Faulkner Park at Eagle Farm. The podcast multi this week is going to be 80-1. Holy moly.
I don't know if it's more of a
get that up with geniuses.
Tying Rising and Sir Dilly's getting up and that multi or this one.
I don't know. They're both gonna win. So anyway.
What's the place all up?
Come on, Nico, we don't sit the piss here.
Yeah.
No, but it's obviously a good option as well. It's fucking 80-1, 3 darts. Yours and I's will win and bots will run third.
$6.58 the place multi.
No, that's
or if you go your two place and mine win, $13.
Oh, okay, cock-a-hoot.
Well, mine's $2.30 and yours is each way. Both.
Yeah, there you go. Just play around with that. Some combinations.
I had a look I had a look at the Brisbane Cup.
Can I finish my set or not? My lay of the day is race 6, the JJ. I'm going to take on the favourite number 1, Cool Archie, as Nico alluded to. He's coming off some heavy track wins, but might be found wanting back on dry ground. And my each way play of the day. I mean, I'm keen each way Firestorm. It's not really an each way price, but keen it'll run top 3. If I had to pick one at double figures in the group 1, it would probably be Komochi, $14-$15. Will Worries.
I remember the Brisbane Cup
because the leg runs in it. I think he's actually probably backable to go back to back in the Brisbane Cup. I'm being serious.
He was good last time. Got a long way back in a slow race. I thought you could back a leg run and Mr. Waterville in that race in the Brisbane Cup.
Right.
I think a leg run's just
looking. Should be jumping.
I do actually have one more winner for you. Fickle is racing in South Australia on Saturday. Barrier 1, barrier to box.
Race?
Boom. Race 5, number 4. $4.
Race 5, Murray
fair.
Bridge.
$4 looks fair.
All right, nice.
Yeah.
All right, over to questions now. Joey, hey boys, looking ahead to spring, historically does the Queensland Winter Carnival stand up as a form guide for the spring, and do you think that'll be the case this year? And also thoughts on Carl Spackler heading to our shores. Well, the first one, yes. The Queensland Winter Carnival stood up big time in recent years. We've had two Melbourne Cup winners, incentivised and without a fight. We've had
Everest winners,
and think about it. We've had Steffi Magnetica. You know, she won a Stradbroke and then ended up winning a Doncaster Mile, I want to say. Yeah. Like
Alligator Blood.
Yeah, it stands up every year.
Won like a million.
Alligator Blood. The JJ's been a great race in the past for two-year-olds. So, yeah. Carl Spackler, I think he's pretty good. I don't know how good. We'll find out in the Queen Anne. I don't think he'll win that. But, yeah, I think he'll be a genuine Group 1 horse here. Nick McGualter fan page. Ben, is it true that you needed a tip from Bot to save your Jamie Hopkins book? Yes. If Providence wins, I will shout Bot something. What odds can I have for Nico not to get to the podcast in time tonight? Funnily enough, he was actually...
Hope you had a fucking...
Funnily enough, he was actually the first one ready tonight, which is rare.
Rare? It's never happened before.
Brad Cox says, what is each of your favourite betting platform, excluding Betfair, and why? Taking into consideration things like early price bet, best price, interface, promos, functionality.
Bet365.
Yeah, it's no contest for me. Bet365, as you alluded to in your next comment, Brad. It's just great if you're playing into early markets like I do, because you can cash out your bet. After 8 a.m. on the race day, you get the odds drift protector if you still get that promotion. Good bet boosts. But, yeah, the biggest thing is being able to cash out your bet.
For, easy to use.
Yeah.
Eight quick withdrawals.
And the deductions is also another massive thing with Bet365.
Yeah.
They only deduct off the winnings, not the stake. So their deductions are better than any other bookmaker in Australia.
Hopefully one day we might be able to align with them.
We can only do you have a favourite or just whoever's top?
No, Bot doesn't care about shit.
I feel like a bit with Ladbrokes Chris DeCasta. The most, though.
Yeah, because they take on a lot of
I feel like they just go top price for the sake of being top price.
Especially Bot. They take on a lot of Bot horses because they've usually got none.
They'll let him in. Chris DeCasta, removing betting from the equation, how good would it be to see Rothfire get up in the Stradbroke? It would be amazing. For me, to see him get his home state's biggest group on after all the issues and injuries he's had, it would have to be one of the race's greatest stories.
Yeah,
I concur with that. Yeah. And it would just be hilarious that it would be J-Mac sitting on top of him when it happened.
The only one, James.
It would just be like, oh, here we go again. Madam, if you couldn't bet on thoroughbreds anymore, I would be pretty depressed. What code/sport would be your main betting output?
Boys? Football.
Yeah, and probably AFL. I mean, I think a lot of the value in football is just not there. Like, you can find good value in the races and good edges, but like when you're betting same game multis in the football, let's just say, like you're betting into the short end of the market to find models a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, don't go broke back in winners.
Yeah, true.
I like betting in the golf too. I enjoy betting in the golf. I usually only have a bet in the golf come majors time, but I know a few boys that bet religiously week in, week out, and there's plenty of props and stuff that you have to, but you have to follow it a lot with the golf. There's a lot of shit involved in it. You've got to follow blokes. Like, it's, I don't have enough time to talk about it, but there's a lot that goes into it. They've got their formulas and stat sheets, and blokes play better in different states and all this sort of shit, but they do quite good at it if you nail down and put the work
on the trust,
but yeah. Like, in it, that's like anything. If you put time and effort into whatever you do with your betting, you should be successful.
Bet on the trots,
mate.
A lot of
people do like betting on the trots because if you can usually find the leader, you can find the winner.
What about the dogs?
No. You would be a dish licker type operator.
I wouldn't bet.
All right, next question.
Trackside type operator.
Says, what is the fascination with Coleman and being able to get to squeeze into big group races? Seriously, couldn't run into the money in a benchmark 64 on the Ballarat synthetic. Coleman, he's promised the world and delivered an Atlas, hasn't he? But
oh, days.
He was runner-up in a Golden Slipper. I think the reason they're running him in these big races he's still a colt, and
they're trying hard.
Yeah, they're just trying to get that Group One or that big placing on the board that can send him to stud. But right now, he doesn't have the CV to go to stud. Yeah, I don't think. But that's why they're not going just 2 year. Your benchmark 64. How does War Machine lose? Says Matt. Well, hopefully it's that simple. James Topping, what Melbourne features should we back Alabama Lass on in the futures? Should come back to Victoria only on hard
Empire
tracks.
Empire Rose.
What was the question, sorry?
What Melbourne features should we back Alabama Lass in the futures in Victoria?
Oh, I thought you were talking about. Is that the New Zealand filly?
Yeah, it's a sprinter.
Nothing.
Well, she won the Sunlight Classic.
I mean, like, she might win a...
Oh, okay.
What was she winning?
Well, could she win like a week Moya? Could she win a week Moya?
No. There's plenty of fucking mare sprint races that she could be competitive in. And, like, open age. I don't know if she's, like, top grade weight for age. Group one sprinting, but to be fair, it's not that strong a pool of horses. Yeah,
I think the answer to the question
is...
She's
going to get better with time.
I think the answer to the question is there's probably not that many markets out right now that you're only backing her.
Yeah, there's not a market now that you've never been in.
But yeah, there'll be races for her in the spring, without a doubt.
100%.
Cal, any fancies for the Group 1, Japan Group 1, the Takarazuka Kinnan this week? I've backed Rusham Park at $26 after his electric workout.
I get confused with all these races. They all sound the freaking same every week.
Well,
Yasuda Kinnan, Yasuda Yinan. It's the same. Like, they just change like two or three letters and change the distance and they all race for the same name.
I'd have Bellagio Opera on top. I think it's $4 favourite on Bet365, but I haven't looked into the race proper yet. But
believe me.
It's one we've got our eye on from a Cox Plate perspective, and this is an invitation race to the Cox Plate. So whoever wins on Sunday will get an invite, and I know people laugh. Obviously, a Japanese Group 1 winner gets into the Cox Plate, but it's an all-expenses invite, so there's a bit of incentive there. Ryan Patton, keen to get Nico's thoughts on Terang Sun, especially Terang Sunday. Sorry, I thought I was saying a horse's name. Terang Sunday, especially race one. Looks a decent enough maiden with the likes of Ballinor, Stockman, Farag, Normandy Bridge, all accepted. Well,
yeah, we've already
said what you need to say.
Oh, yeah, we've already alluded to the fact that I'm keen. I think that that Stockman could be max bet areas depending on the price, but yeah, it's a good race.
Yeah,
five decent horses in it.
Mitch says Repossession got up last week. He's the one who had the WA tip, so well done for that. Got up.
Here we go.
He says, what's the best bet of the day at Bunbury and why is it Mr. Shirataku? So black book that one, punters. Add it to the list because Mitch is hot.
What about my boy last week? Just put him on the sword. Foot abscess, no worries. Just Western Empire just doing Western Empire things.
I had Western Empire and Magnificent Andy in my two multis. It was just the easiest watch of all time, that last two.
And Uncle Bob's got his railway winner, just put him in cotton wool. Can I have a market on him too, please? Love him more, just wins the railway. Just love all over. Yeah. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah. All right. Casual call out. If you owned a horse, what trainer would you send it to?
I'm sending them to Bot.
Excluding Mar and Waller.
Straight to Bot Enterprises.
Oh, I'd send it to someone who doesn't have that many horses. Like Gab Edgegood's very, very, very good.
Maybe it all depends on what you want. If you want to have a good time, I reckon you'd send it to Simon Miller because he sounds like a weapon on the piss. So I feel like your engagement post races would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Bjorn Baker.
Bjorn Baker would be another one. He'd be a great person to have a horse with. If I could send a horse to anyone, who would I want to send it to?
What about like a Mitch Friedman? Like just someone young and up and coming who is, you know, not someone who's just got a factory of horses.
I reckon having a horse with Henry Dwyer would be good fun.
Yeah. Ballarat. Cold and shit.
Yeah, Camilla, yeah, it's yuck. I don't know, it's put me on the spot a bit.
Yeah. No, who cares? Next question.
Well, the next question isn't a question. It is a question, but it's a statement, and it got 13 likes, this one, from Haywood. From Haywood Jabomi. Try not to say that too fast.
This is good.
Hey, young fellas, does this young bloke called Bot ever go outside? If not, please take him away from the numbers for one day. Cheers.
For fuck's sake. Oh, my God.
Any comment? Do you actually have a wife, Bot, or...?
Despite popular belief, I actually do things sometimes. I do actually have some sort of a life.
I've never seen
that. Yeah, fair enough.
All right, a couple on Instagram. Gee, the question segments just keep getting longer and longer. Ryan Deeth, is a six-day service cast just thinking about the J.J. Atkins book? Well, Ryan, you know we've been absolutely flying.
Why are we still going on about this rubbish?
You know we're absolutely flying outside... you know, JJ Atkins, maybe not the best, but we could have a $50 win. I pay $11. So anyway, but why are you so scared of starting a service? Are you worried that Oldham has your number?
I just can't bother. Wouldn't want to do it.
Ben Zandivar says, which is a horse all of you lads can't see losing on Saturday? For me, it's Faulkner Park. Nico's is probably Sunday. Can't, yeah. In terms of an absolute lock.
I was going to take Coops a piece Owen. And say Hidden Achievement, but no, Stockman on Sunday, he won't lose.
Coops Owen, where would you send the top Godolphin horses with James Cummings going to Honkers?
Don't know.
Probably the Freedmans, because they've got a lot of Godolphin horses already.
Well, what's his name was on with Felgate today, and they've got 5 to 9 trainers that are on the
already
radar.
Locked in.
Well, not already locked in, but they're on the radar.
Yeah.
So whether they go with... They've got like 100 yearlings a year or something, that I was saying. So that's like 20 per person. But obviously you've got the established horses. But it's going to have to come out pretty soon because like Zardozi and these types here, they're like spring's nearly here, believe it or not. We're in the depths of winter and it feels like shit right now. But these good horses are coming back. Like it's not long.
Yeah. Coops always also says, favourite schnitzel progeny?
Shame as well.
I think you say favourite schnitzel.
Probably Redzel. He's probably one of my faves.
Yeah.
Lady Shannon Knowles. Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. She's pretty good.
She's a sexy little girl. Lady Shannon Knowles.
I'm going to go Redzel. 1-2 Everest. What a champ he was.
But Autumn Glow's better than her. Fuck, give me a spell.
Coops also says, last one, thoughts on Black Caviar's son running around at Glorious Toowoomba on Saturday.
Hey, what? This.
Huh?
How did you... Black Caviar's son running around it.
No, oh, that's fucking awesome.
Do you want to check that quickly, Bot?
Sure.
Which
try
one?
Try and find it.
There's a few of them. They're all very slow.
Toowoomba on Saturday, Black Caviar's
son. Well, believe it or not, lots of champion race mares actually produce not very good, fast progeny.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference in the sale ring. They still go for an absolute fuck ton.
And the last one's from Damon Windley, massive Autumn Glow fan. What are your thoughts on her and the heights she can get to?
She's still in Lady Shenandoah's shadow for now, comfortably.
Shenandoah's won 3 Group 1s and Autumn Glow hasn't won any yet, so she's got the runs on the board. But Autumn Glow, we put the tip out at $7 for the Epsom today. Oh, I think she's going to be incredibly well weighted.
Was that you that did that? Was it?
Yeah, of course it was.
Oh,
of course it was. The 6 day, just setting off markets.
Yeah. Nothing different there.
Look, and a lot of people are going to say, like, you're an idiot backing your horse this far out at $7. And that's fine. People can say what they want. But if this horse is $3 on the day because she gets in with 52 kilos, she's not yet a Group 1 winner. She's still rated in the 90s, and she could be one of the best mares in Australia. Well, we'll talk on the day.
Yeah, exactly right.
Bot, did you find that horse?
Oh, yeah, it is. I Am Caviar is racing in the 4th race at Toowoomba.
I think I know that
one. Yeah, me too.
I Am Caviar.
It wasn't a good one.
It must have fallen off the face of the earth if it's running at Toowoomba.
Got it.
Anyway. All right,
sometimes
let's wrap up
the
podcast.
Breeding in the world and still be slow.
Let's wrap up the podcast there. Good luck if you're having a crack this weekend. Good luck if you're playing football.
Don't have too hopefully, much of a crack this weekend, punters. Just hold your horses.
Fingers crossed for War Machine because our four-leg multi will be going to Vegas if that salutes. And we've got War Machine, Carding Rising, and Sir Dilius in the Melbourne Cup to go. So good luck, punters. We'll see you back here next week.